This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharudin, and you're tuned into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. We're days away from Deepavali, the festival that celebrates the triumph of light over darkness. And to mark the occasion, we're going to focus this week's episode on the most important component that binds most festivities together. I'm talking about food, specifically Indian food. We're blessed with a variety of Indian food here in Malaysia. But do you know that most of the Indian cuisines that we're familiar with came from southern India? Now, India is a big country, and while southern dishes are more commonly found here due to the migration of most of our ancestors from there, we do have Indian dishes from different communities and regions too. So in this episode, we're going to try and break down the types of Indian food from different regions. Helping me with this is Richaran Venkatesh, the head chef of Nadodi, a modern southern Indian restaurant here in KL.
My name is Sri Charan, and I'm the head chef of restaurant Nadodi, and I come from India. And what we do at Nadodi is we cook South Indian food that we grew up eating and experiencing, and we make it look more artistic and present it in a way where people call it destruction. So yeah, that makes us special. So I would say a flavorful disruptor, maybe.
Disruptor is such an interesting word to describe what you guys do, right? Because essentially what you do technically is just contemporizing traditional food, right?
Modernizing. But such words have become very like cliche now, you know. You modernize something, you progress with something. But what you're actually doing is you're trying to take something traditional, authentic, and rebuild it so that it appeals to someone. And that is your selling point, and the business needs such. So food is very subjective, you know. So what we tend to do is we grew up eating such, especially in South India, a lot of flavors and a lot of proteins. Cuisine is rich in South India, so a lot of vegetables that needs to be discovered. So when you come to another part of the country, you want to show that, you know. And as a chef, I believe that's my responsibility, to showcase my home food, but in a way that I would like the guests to have.
Operating a southern Indian restaurant in Malaysia can be slightly challenging for Sri Charan, as he will have to compete with the majority of Indian food available here. Does this concern him?
We never saw it as a situation because it's an opportunity. So that's the first thing that we recognize as a team, that you have an opportunity to showcase your home food to a place where people are aware of what the flavors are, what it is to have this dish. So challenges were there, but we were well accepted and appreciated at the same time. So it's very overwhelming for us to receive such praise at the beginning. But once, after launching the restaurant and after accepting guests and after getting the criticism, and is when we realized that, you know, actually people do like this, you know. They feel the difference. And for me, since I come from India, when I eat the local Indian food here, I do find certain differences that I feel is some few are very good. The concept, the way it's done, it's very Malaysianized, as, you know, you like to term it. So a lot of other influences comes to make this one particular dish. So it obviously tastes different than what we eat at home. So that makes us sell something new to you and not what you actually know. You may know it by name or by just looking at it, but the flavor is different. And that's what we realized. We're still realizing.
What are the differences, actually? Maybe you can help describe to our listeners the differences between a Malaysianized version of like southern Indian food and an original version of southern Indian food.
Correct. Okay, I start with the curries. Okay, so curries are it's like the soul for any cuisine, especially for both the cuisines, Malaysian and Indian. So we have a lot of bases, curry bases with a lot of spices. So what happens in the difference that I found personally is a lot of curries that you have in the banana leaf shops where you have this chicken curry or whatever, it's all like one type, and the spice used is just one mix. So what happens is, back in India, we have a lot of raw spices that we put. It's not powdered. It's fewer powdered and fewer put raw. And you take it out after cooking the curry. And we cook it completely in the fat. You know, when you put oil first and then you put your spices and whole spices that we call, and some vegetables, and we cook it nicely. Here what I saw is the curry has been made, and during the finishing is when the curry powder is mixed. So you have that raw smell of the curry. And it tastes good. It's not that it's not the right way to be done, but it tastes good. But the difference you can, I mean, you actually can find the, this is what the, I mean, for a chef like, comes from India. So when I had the curry, I'm like, okay, fine, the spices are so raw. And I did go, Anay, what do you do? Like, so he showed me, you know, it's like they were cooking there. And he showed me that, you know, if they finish it with the Baba's curry masala. So it was really nice, you know. So I was like, okay, could be done like this. So I did try it in my restaurant, but I couldn't really enjoy the meal as much as I would do a normal curry back home. So I think it's the first difference is the cooking thing. And of course, all the dishes, like example, your roti chennai. So in India, in Kerala, we call it paratha. So it's a very layered, flaky bread. And we have it with our beef or any meat. So usually dry meat, and you have this very nice, hot, flaky paratha. And there's no curry to it. It's a very... So when I came here and I saw roti chennai, I was like, wow. You know, I'm like, I'm going to eat it. So when I had it, it was more thin. It was a bit sweet. And the curry was, again, this chicken curry, which had this raw spice masala. So I could find the difference. I was like, yeah, so here they do this kind of thing. And it's very simple. You just have a curry and you have paratha. You just pour it over and you mix and eat. So these are the differences that fascinated me. Especially the roti bomb. Oh man, that is like amazing, you know. And roti tissue, that's like the best. Like, how can you make a thin bread and pour condensed milk and some sugar? And I mean, I used to like love that.
All right, and roti bomb and roti tissue, to a certain extent, you can't find them in India. These are original Asian creation.
Roti for us is like, say, chapati. We might call it roti in South India. But here, roti is this one. But you go to Singapore, they call it paratha.
So
the same dish, but you call it like three different names. And even Sri Lanka is very famous for paratha.
Mm. What about thosai?
Oh, thosai is very southern Indian. And it's like if we call it South Indian food, you should have idli and thosai in it. But for a weird reason, I don't find idli here much, I haven't found a good idli place. So the process is that you make lentils and you take rice. There's a ratio to your lentils and rice. And you blend it and you ferment the batter. So the first thing that you do with the batter is to make idli. Because the batter it won't be very sour. So they make idli and it's considered as one of the best meal by WHO itself. Very healthy meal. After the third day is when the batter gets like a bit sour and more fermented, is when they start putting it on the griddle and you make those, it's flat pancake kind of thing.
Oh, so it's an evolution of...
It's an evolution,
thosai is an evolution of...
Like in my home, what my mom makes is, whenever she makes this batter, first 2 days I don't eat because it's idli. You know, idli is just a steamed rice cake and you have your accompaniments, but yeah, you don't prefer. So the third day you wait for her to start making the thosai because it's more fermented and it won't rise anymore. So we put it on a flat plate and you start, you know, making like a crepe. So, yeah, but here, it's not a big difference, I would say. But, yeah, the accompaniments matter. Mm. So, those are different.
And things like, for example, the curry and the dal and the chutney, are those things different as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's like if I cook something at my home and if you cook the same thing at your home, it's going to be different. It won't be the same. But the concept, the purpose is the same. Mm. And the ingredients that goes in also is the same. So that's not a big difference, but usually back home, I would say it's more thick, the chutneys, and so that you can actually dip and eat. And we call it sambar, which is your dal here. So it's made with lentils, same like lentils and some tamarind and vegetables. But again, India, you have different variations to the same dish. So on a general basis, a sambar is sambar. It's a bit sour and spicy. And yeah, so it's the same way here. But here I found them using, it's more sweet because I think they use potatoes. I found in few places. So that's the difference. But that's the ideal accompaniment for a thosai.
Right.
Yeah, we call it thosai. And here it's thosai. So the slang is a difference in the slang, but yeah, okay. It's the same thing.
Even the spelling is a bit different. D and
yeah, that's D O S A. Some places I, some places A, but here it's T H. So I mean, yeah, that one thing I found, which I understood over a period of time, is like the D and the da becomes T and T H here. So yeah,
what's the difference again?
For example, we call it dosai, right? So we pronounce it with the, you know, sound D. When it comes here, it's more like tha, dosai. So yeah, and a lot of any names also, many Indian names, which is quite different. So
yeah, another dish that is quite popular here in Malaysia is also banana leaf rice, right? And I understand that based on our conversation earlier, that might not be something that is actually common in Southern India.
Yeah. To be very frank, yes. The banana leaf culture in Malaysia is so beautiful, and you have so many banana leaf restaurants, which even in South India, you don't get to eat on a banana leaf, like on any time of the day, you know. So during lunch, we have places where they put banana leaf, and same, you give rice and a lot of dishes. But here, the culture itself is, it's a culture, right? So you have a lot of dishes put on the buffet, and then you get your banana leaf, and yeah. Especially the vegetables, we call it vegetable goreng, right, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
The bitter gourd fried and all those things, that's like amazing, man. You know, we used to hate bitter gourd in India. I used to hate bitter gourd back home, you know. When mom cooks on it, I just like, nah, it's not me. But here, I only eat that, you know, that's like, it's really good. But yeah, and the culture, I think it's because of how when people traveled and came here, they got the spices and food with them, and they started cooking in a place where, you know, they are new to, and I think it became I believe it became a culture from back then.
Mm.
Because of the spice trade. So spice trade is something which is very important, and because it's more for commerce purposes, and it happened in Kerala. So in the Portuguese and your Vasco da Gama, they aimed for Calicut, and they came. Calicut is a small city in the Malabar area, so that's where they came in, and they took the spices, because all your cardamom, mustard seeds, peppercorns are all like, we had a lot of spices there. So that trade happened, and that's how Europe got the spices that they have right now. And the passage was through Arab and through South Africa, you know, Cape of Good Hope, if I'm not wrong. And then it came to Malaysia, Indonesia. So that's how the curries and the spices moved all this way. Till Cambodia, you find a lot of common spices that's been used.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, when the Indians, we say, the South Indians, there's this particular community called Chettiars. So they are known for business, and they're known for travelers and spice-related commerce businesses. So you see a lot of them coming, settling down in Malaysia, and four of them were down. So, and yeah, that's how the curries came into existence in this part of the world, and to the, you know, to Europe as well.
Mm, yeah, I've always been fascinated with the discussion about spices. Can you give like a bit of a primer on like the kind of spices available or rather used in Indian cooking?
I mean, it's a very common thing that you'll find here as well. You have peppercorns, which is a major spice here. You have cinnamon, you have cloves, you have cardamom. You have black cardamom, which you use in your curries as well. So the whole spices are these bay leaf and nutmeg. But the difference comes in the way we mix them. So a lot of blends. So you, for a particular dish, you just mix, say, a clove and a cinnamon. For others, you mix cumin and coriander seeds and peppercorns. For example, rasam you take. So rasam has got peppercorns in it, coriander in it, cumin in it. These are the essential spices that you need to use. So differences, there are no new or exotic spices that you would find, but it's similar. But one thing that it's, we have tamarind. So this tamarind is a very, what you get here is more sweet. What you get there is more, it's more pungent, it's more spicy. And we have this one particular spice known as kokum, which is again a very South Indian and more Goan spice. So it's this very tangy and very soury tamarind variety that is a very crucial ingredient in many of their dishes. So these are the differences, and the usage is what makes the big difference.
That was Richaran Venkatesh, the head chef of modern southern Indian restaurant Nadodi. He's here to help explain the variety of Indian meals available out there. Stay tuned, we have more after this. I'm Hanif Baharudin and you're tuned in to I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharudin. We're joined by Sricharan Venkatesh, the head chef of Nadodi, a contemporary southern Indian restaurant here in the capital. He's here to help us understand the types of Indian meals available across regions in India. Earlier, Sricharan compared our local southern Indian food that we're familiar with the ones found in India. Now he's going to talk about other dishes available across other states and their stories.
For me, India is the food heaven for me because you get to taste so many tasty food. You know? As you said, it's very true. It's a country with 29 states. So the diversity happens geographically as well as religious impact is also there. So Every 5 or 10 kilometers, the food changes, because what you eat in one part of the same city, if you go to the northern part, you'll find a different variety of dishes or the different style of dishes. This happens in one city, so you can imagine when a country with 29 states, what it happens like. And geography wise, also south is more tropical. It's similar to what we experience here. North has winters, so the food changes there. People eat more of red meat to keep themselves warm. So the consumption of having more of lamb or beef is more up north compared to south, because south is more of surrounded with seafood, sea, so you have a lot of seafood and very tropical, so all your fruits and coconuts are a very crucial ingredient, you know. But at the same time, you take northeast, I mean, the eastern side of our country, it's more of green leafy vegetables, and again seafood, because you have a sea belt there, and influence from the Chinese area as well. So there's a lot of dry meat, fermentation happens, and usage of meats like your duck or squab, all these happens in the northern eastern side and the northeastern side.
Mm-hmm. In places such as?
Assam, Arunachal Pradesh. So these are we call it Northeast. So this set of states which is known for their cuisine is because of the influence from India and from the other side, which is your Tibet. So it's more of soup. There's a lot of noodles. You have different types of noodles. You have your dried meats. You have fermented beans and pickles. So that is one culture there. But if you go up north, if you start with Delhi. Delhi is known for its street food, the Mughal cuisine. So we were ruled by Mughals back then. So their cuisine include more of curries, more of breads. So that's how the bread came into existence. So you have this tandoor. I'm sure we know what tandoor is. So when you cook a nice flat bread, it's usually we make it with flour, any glutinous flour for that, and we cook it inside this tandoor which has got no fat. So you're not going to use oil or butter to cook the product. So it's nicely cooked and you have this very rich curry. Its base is usually with a lot of spices like black cardamom and cloves and cinnamon, the ones that are very dark. And then you have onions. So the reason why I told onions is because onions gives this base to our curries. So when we cook the onion less, it becomes white curry. When you brown the onions and you paste it, it becomes black. So that's how you get the difference. People usually, how do you get that color? You know, this one is white and that one is more dark. You know, the dark is because the onions are browned, and a lot of tomatoes, of course. So then you put your meats and it's cooked on a slow cooking temperature. And this is the richness comes from this. You know, that's Delhi is more of that. It's more of the kebabs and I'm sure we have a lot of breads there. That's the main staple for us. I used to live in Delhi for some time, so I used to eat only breads and a lot of lentils. So that's the and if you go to furthermore up, you have Punjab and this one, Chandigarh. So Punjab is more of, I mean, you have this, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of restaurants here which also serves the Punjabi cuisine. So you have paratha. So the paratha is not the same that what we get here or down south of India. So this one is made with wheat and it's more like a chapati, which is stuffed with some filling. It's either potatoes or sometimes chicken or mutton. And it's huge. You know, we make it like really big, like a frisbee size. And then they put this we have white butter, which you won't find it anywhere. So white butter is this fresh butter which has been made and they put it on top and it melts nicely. And you have a pickle, which is made with mangoes, raw mangoes and some mustard. Jeez, man, I'm hungry already. So you have this mustard oil and all. So there's a pickle there and that's your breakfast, you know. Can you imagine like a frisbee-sized paratha? You have like 3-4 for breakfast and then you have this one glass of lassi, which is thick yogurt with sugar. I mean, you're sorted for the next week, I say, you know. I mean, but that's just the meal. And yeah, so a lot of fat. It's very fatty, I would say, up north. The other food is more of, usually a lot of fats. And when it comes to south, it's more of seafood and curry leaves, which you won't find many using in North Indian cuisine, except for this place called Gujarat. So where Gujarat is, again, it's a paradise for vegetarian food. A lot of vegetarians there. So the vegetarianism is big. And again, it's also about religious purpose, as I said, because we can't cook. Beef has been banned in India. And ironically, it's was the most exported product for India. So because of obvious reasons, because Hindus don't consume beef, so beef is banned. But when it comes to the Islam settlement, we have red meat, we have beef. So that's why I say religion also plays a big part in the cuisine.
Mm. What about Eastern region? Is there any difference between
Eastern? Yeah, Eastern again is more of, so it goes like this. From south, you have the central India, where it gradually becomes more of bread starts from there. The usage of wheat, millets. Millets again is a big thing in India. So we use a lot of millets, a lot of lentils. So this is our staple. You know, we grew up eating. Our protein source is from our lentils and for the vegetarians. But again, meat has been consumed a lot. When it goes to east again, you have the Bay of Bengal, which is more of seafood. And as I said, if you go to east, there's a place called Calcutta, which is, again, the hub for food. You have a lot of sweets because they celebrate such, especially during Diwali or the recent Dasara, we call it. So it's more of sweets, and seafood is their staple, you know, especially fishes, and usage of mustard oil. So even the oil, you can find differences. Mostly people cook with peanut, groundnut oil, but yeah, up north is more of mustard oil, and south is more of coconut oil and sesame oil, and in general is your vegetable oil that we use, and ghee. Ghee is the father of all fat for cooking in India.
Okay. Is there a common ingredient that is used throughout the country?
Ghee is used throughout the country. Vegetable oils, which comes to that, and all the vegetables, and millets and your lentils are a staple. You have different kind of lentils, which is cooked from south to north, but only the way it's done is up north is more rich in terms of the amount of fat has been used to cook the curry. So I have this dish called dal makhani, which is very Punjabi again. So we have kidney beans, which has been soaked, and then we cook it on slow temperature overnight. And then we had like blocks of butter and chili paste and ginger garlic paste. That's it. So these are the ingredients that goes into that. And you cook it slowly till it becomes a thick gravy. Mm-hmm. And you have it, you can just have it like that. Yeah, I couldn't find one here. So maybe, yeah.
Business opportunity there.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward.
We cannot talk about Indian food and just focus on only the savory meals. Indian sweets and desserts are also equally unique and different across India.
Yeah, I mean, south, if you see, you'll find some coconut-based sweets, but up north, you won't find much. Up north is more of using of chickpea flour and to make sweets and saffron and spices. is up north. There's a sweet called laddu. I'm sure you know what laddu is. So it's made with this chickpea flour and you add some sugar syrup. So it's famous up north. We have a lot of varieties. And south is more of like coconut barfi, which is the small square ones that you get. So it's grated coconut with some jaggery. Jaggery is nothing but your gula melaka. But again, it's different. Here it's more light and there it's more dark. So we add that and we call it something called payasam, which I said before. The difference is down south is more of rice-based and lentil-based. And up north is more made with this thing called vermicelli, which is more like your bihun, if I'm not wrong. So we have that there. And yeah, sweets are, it's again, it's part of your meal, especially during the festival seasons. And lots of nuts we use, like almonds, which is made into a paste. And then you add your, again, ghee, which is in another form called khoya. And then cashew nuts, raisins. So you'll find all this there.
So I'm going to let you in on a bit of a secret. This episode was actually inspired by a conversation that I had with a bunch of my Indian friends that celebrate Deepavali. I'm curious to know what they usually prepare to mark the joyous occasion. You know, like an equivalent to the rendang during Hari Raya, right? And they told me that actually Deepavali is celebrated with a feast of different kinds of dishes subjective to each family, and there is actually no specific dish that is prepared specifically for the festival. Well, at least in Malaysia. I find that quite interesting. I told Sri Charan their answers and asked him the same question.
Well, they are right to an extent that there's nothing like you have to make it for Diwali. Yes. It's usually the feast, the spread that we cook. So it's got a lot of sweets and the majority is sweets and the other snacks that they make to celebrate the victory of light over darkness, right? But I grew up when I was celebrating Diwali at home and all, my mom used to give me this one particular thing called legium. In Tamil, it's called legium. It's like this medicinal paste with a lot of spices, clove, to name a few, is like clove, peppercorns, ginger. So this is make a thick paste out of all this, and various other things. I'm sorry, I'm not able to like recollect it all. But you make a paste, and I mean, you don't want to have that. That's not good for taste. But the reason why they make that, and it's only made for Diwali because Diwali is the time, especially for the Hindus in the country, where they say there's a major festival for us. We celebrate we've been waiting for that festival to happen, and when it comes, it's a 5-day feast. So during that time, since you're having a lot of food and various types of food, and you have to have this 1 teaspoon at least to help in your digestion and make sure that you're fine, you know. So after every Diwali meal at home, my mom used to come and force feed this. And yeah, I mean, you used to hate it, but the purpose is that it helps. So this one thing you can only find during the Diwali time. I'm saying this because I grew up in Chennai. So in Chennai, you can find in South India, I would say, you can find this particular thing throughout during the Diwali season. So I haven't found any here. Maybe you do have that, you know. So that's one thing that's very special for Diwali. Mm. And of course, your sweets and snacks, that varies from house to house, I would say.
Mm. Speaking of Diwali, how do you celebrate Diwali here? Even the term is different, right? The fact that just now I started by saying Deepavali, but now I'm changing to Diwali. Yeah, maybe you can help explain a bit the differences and also just share your experience celebrating Deepavali or Diwali here in Malaysia.
And Diwali and Deepavali is like potato and potato, right? Diwali is, they use the term in North India, so it's like Diwali. In India, we stress more. I mean, South India, we stress more. It's called Deepavali. So that's the difference. It's the purpose, the occasion is all the same. It's the celebration of lights. I mean, the victory of light over darkness, and a lot of reasons are there to celebrate. It's for prosperity. It's like how Chinese New Year happens, where they clean the house, you go buy new clothes, and then you cook sweets and you give it to your immediate family. And yeah, it's the same. Diwali is such occasion for us. So Diwali, Deepavali is that. But yeah, I mean, I'm out from home for like 3 years, 4 years now. So not really got to celebrate Deepavali as how I used to celebrate back when I was a child, as a kid. But yeah, you start the day very, very, very early. It's like, I still remember, it's like 3:34, they wake me up and first we have this oil bath, you know, just to make sure that you're clean and that day. So hot oil bath, and then you go, you wear your new clothes, you pray to God, and then they say you first burst some crackers. This happens early morning at 5:30. I just go burst few crackers just to make some, you know, the celebrations to start. And then you come back home, you watch all the TV programs that's there, and you eat a lot, you talk, chit-chat. And again, the evening is, again, you go back, and again, you spend more time bursting crackers. So that's an ideal Diwali for me back home. And it's more of food and sleep. And yeah, you don't have to go to school, so what more do you want as a young guy, you know? So that is one thing. I miss all that now because not the fried crackers, obviously, but yeah, to have that food and to be with your family is something that I would love to have for this Diwali. But again, I'm cooking for a different family here. So yeah, it's good. I mean, for 2 years, it's been nice. What I like about here is the open house culture, which in India, we don't have much, I guess, but now we do have, but back then I'm saying. So here for Diwali, it's usually an open house. We just go cook some food and yeah, that's the Diwali that's been. The last Diwali was like that for me.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week I had the pleasure of chatting with the head chef of Nadodi, Sricharan Venkatesh. He joined me on the show to give us a bit of a primer on Indian dishes from south all the way to the north. And that's all we have for this week's episode of I Love KL. As usual, if you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl or download our app via Google Play or the App Store. We're also available on Spotify now, so do check us out on that platform. And while you're at it, don't forget to follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Sanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm going to end the show with a Deepavali classic to get you in the mood. This is Na Siratal Deepavali, taken from the movie Nayagan. Enjoy and happy Deepavali. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, the business station.
நான் சிரித்தால் தீபாவளி நாளும் இங்கே ஏகாதே சீர் நான் சிரித்தால் தீபாவளி நாளும் இங்கே ஏகாதே சீர் அந்தி மலரும் நந்தவனம் நான் அள்ளி பருகும் கம்பரசம் நான் சிரித்தால்
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.